السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So alhamdulillah, we moved back upstairs. I think they said you guys ate too much iftar today, so they wanted you to just love it. I know I ate too much. MashaAllah. Dr. Amr had biryani today, mashallah. So, okay, alhamdulillah. So, today's topic that was given to me was the keeping the light of Ramadan alive after Ramadan. How to keep it going. And this is something I'm sure many of you have asked yourselves, because, you know, we're in the last few nights of Ramadan now, and it was going so good. You know, Ramadan, the spirit of Ramadan, and alhamdulillah, if you look at this is a huge blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our masjid is one of those few masajid that are open, and we have all kinds of programs going on. A lot of youth, mashallah, tabarakallah, getting together. I think this is one of the very few masajid, let alone the US, maybe even the whole world, where people are getting together, inshallah, and doing that many programs and stuff like that, inshallah. So this is something, you know, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing. And even today at Asr, was it Asr? Or Dhuhr? Asr. At Asr, there was, mashallah, I was looking around after the prayer, and there was at least 50%, if not 50, maybe 40% of the youth were in the masjid. And this is Asr time. There's no program, there's no pizza, there's no basketball or anything like that, but they were here for prayer. And that is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great sign, alhamdulillah, you know, that we still have Iman in our hearts. We still have that in our community, and again, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. So one of the things I want to start off with is we have the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam." That, O the people of Iman, O the people who believe, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for the people before you, the generations before us, the umam before us. La'allakum what? What is the ending of the ayah? Tattaqoon. Barakallahu feekum. Tattaqoon. Okay, so that we can get taqwa, we can gain and learn taqwa. And what is taqwa? Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God consciousness. Okay, being aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. That is what taqwa is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, He's teaching us a great lesson, that one of the main focus, one of the main purposes of Ramadan is to gain taqwa, to learn taqwa. And if you look at you know, this month of Ramadan, it's basically a 30-day training program that we're going through. It's a whole training program. And not only that, the training wheels. You know, when someone learns how to ride a bike, first they start off riding with training wheels, unless you're really ghetto parents, no training wheels. And then you know, bump your head a few times, scratches, and go to emergency a few times. But basically, you have training wheels, and you learn how to ride with the training wheels. And then after that, the training wheels are taken off, and then you fly. Then you're riding by yourself. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the month of Ramadan, and the training wheels are on right now as we speak. As we are sitting here together, the training wheels are on. And what are those training wheels? The Prophet told us that on the first night of Ramadan, as soon as the moon is seen and Ramadan starts, the Maghrib or, you know, Isha time, or sometimes even later, you know, when we find out that Ramadan has started, that from that Maghrib time, there's three things that happen. There's the gates of Jannah are opened. The gates of Jahannam are locked, are closed. And the third, what is the third? Shayateen are locked up. Barakallahu feekum. Okay, the shayateen are locked up. So this is basically the training wheels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that those shayateen, the shaitan who is able to influence us, do waswasa, their influence is not there anymore. Or it is very weak. It's not as strong as it was before. So now we see in the month of Ramadan, a person is able to do more read more Quran than they used to. A person is able to do, you know, for example, if you don't read any, someone, for example, doesn't pray any nawafil, does not pray any sunan throughout the day, just prays their 5 days, five daily prayers, and that's it. That person now finds himself standing one and a half hour behind the imam praying 20 rakat of sunan of the taraweeh. And they're like, "What? How did that happen? How can I even do that? You know, I was not able to even do two rak'ah. Now I'm standing an hour and a half behind the imam," and they're enjoying it. So this is, again, this is the training period that Allah SWT is putting us through. And this is so that we can learn what taqwa is. After Ramadan is over, that's when the training wheels go off. The shayateen are let loose. And then we are put back into the situation, the test of the shayateen, the waswasa, the desires, the nafs. And then are we going to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and do what the sharia wants? Are we going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are we going to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's basically the test after Ramadan. That's when the training wheels have come off. Now, we know that just like in the month of Ramadan, when we feel these, you know, the shayateen's locked up, so basically we feel this high, this spiritual high. The iman is raised. Okay? Now, after Ramadan, every single one of us, okay, myself included, imam included, your parents included, okay, the imams of the haram included, every single person will feel a dip in their iman. This is natural, it's normal, and it's going to happen. And, you know, everyone should expect that. So the thing is, that how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that dip? Now, there's a famous story, I'm sure you heard this many times, but it's good to remind over and over again and listen so we can take benefits from these stories. But there was a Sahabi by the name of Hanzala, radiallahu anhu. And this Sahabi, one day he's walking outside in the streets, and he's just basically walking, and he has this worried look on his face. He has this depressed look on his face, and he meets Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asks him that, "What is it, Hanzala? Why do you seem so upset? What happened? Are you okay?" And he says, "Nafaqa Hanzala, I have become a munafiq." Now Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu says, "What are you saying? How could you say that? What happened?" He says that when I'm sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when I'm in Masjid Nabawi, I'm listening to the khutbah, I'm listening to the bayan, I'm praying behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I feel my iman is at this level, this high level. But as soon as I go home, as soon as I see my kids, as soon as I see my wife, my parents, my iman, I feel that dip in my iman. So I feel like I'm two-faced. I feel like I'm a munafiq. I feel like in front of the Prophet ﷺ, I'm a believer. And when I go home, I become a munafiq because I have that difference of iman. So what should I do? Abu Bakr then says that, you know, I'm feeling the same thing. I'm going through the same experience. Let's go and ask the Prophet ﷺ about this. So they go together and they ask the Prophet ﷺ. They said, this is what's going on. Rasulullah ﷺ tells them that if you were to stay on the same level of iman when you are sitting with me in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Masjid Nabawi, if you are able to keep that level of iman when you go home, then the angels would come down and they would meet you like they would meet, like people meet a famous person. Okay, when you go, a famous person comes. For example, right now, if Mulana Tariq Jamil, if he comes right now, everyone would rush to get up and see him, go meet him, say salam to him. If Imam of Haram, Shaykh Hudayfi, if he came right now, everyone would get up and run to meet him because he's someone famous. He's someone of high stature. He's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the same way, the angels would rush to meet you. They would come and they would shake your hands. They would come and they would meet you. They want to be with you because of this high status of iman. But the Prophet says, but there is sa'a fa sa'a. There's change. Changes happen. So the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us that we will see this dip. Even after Ramadan, we will not be at that spiritual high anymore. We won't be able to be at that level anymore that we are in right now during the month of Ramadan. So how do we deal with that? That's the basically the thing. And there's another example. Anas ibn Malik, actually I just talked about this 2 weeks ago in the Seerah program. I don't know how many of you guys are following the Seerah program. Try to come on Mondays. We are doing it during Ramadan, Mondays after Asr. So 7:15, try to do that. My son is recording them and putting up on YouTube. So we have all 53 sessions up there on YouTube. If you want to catch up, whatever, you know, you can always do that, inshallah. But basically, we talked about how Anas ibn Malik Radan, he said, when the Prophet ﷺ entered into Medina Munawwara, he lighted up everything. أَضَاءَ مِنْهُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Everything, كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Everything was lit up by the spiritual presence of the Prophet ﷺ, by the nur of the Prophet ﷺ. So Anas ibn Malik Radan says that when he passed away, the day he passed away was the worst day in the day of Medina, or the worst day of my life. And he says that everything became dark. And he says that when we went to bury the Prophet ﷺ, he said we didn't even wipe off the dust from our hands, from the grave of the Prophet ﷺ, except the ankarna anfusana. We had felt a change happen in our hearts. We felt this iman has gone down. A change has occurred in our hearts because the Prophet ﷺ is no longer with us anymore. And the same thing again and again, like I was saying, is that in Ramadan, you'll feel this spiritual high. You'll feel that everything in your life is lighted up. The barakah has come into your heart, into your lives, into your hearts, into your families. But after Ramadan, after Eid, we won't even be done praying Eid, and you'll find yourselves that dip in iman. You won't be able to recognize yourselves. You'll see that difference right away. So again, we need to, you know, learn taqwa during the month of Ramadan and keep that light going after Ramadan also. Now, one of the things about the signs, the ulama say a sign that our Ramadan and our fasting, our prayer has been accepted, is that a person is given tawfiq to repeat that action, is given tawfiq to continue that action. So, for example, if a person was in the month of Ramadan, if they find themselves praying in the masjid, they'll see themselves continuing praying after Ramadan. Not just one of those people who come during the month of Ramadan, there you see them in the front saf, you see them praying in the masjid, and then the whole year, chutti, they're not there anymore. They come back, they say, see you next Ramadan. If we are one of those people, then we have to wake ourselves up. We have to be careful, because we don't know if we will make it to next Ramadan. If we don't know if we're going to be even alive until next Ramadan to get back into that habit again. So keeping that going, that's very important. So one thing is the tawfiq to continue and do the actions again. Another sign of our acceptance of our actions is that we'll see a change in our lives. So for example, someone before you have to reflect, that are we seeing a difference in our lives? If before Ramadan, you're one of those who was praying five times prayers, but in their homes. They were praying, and sometimes maybe missing the prayer, praying, getting up, missing Fajr, getting up and praying it late, Qadha. If we are one of those people doing that, and then during the month of Ramadan, and after the month of Ramadan, continuing after Eid, we see ourselves coming to the masjid, at least for Isha, at least for Isha and Fajr prayers, then that's a sign of acceptance, that our Ramadan has been accepted, our prayers have been accepted. Someone who before Ramadan did not even look at the Quran, did not even open the Quran throughout the year, but in the month of Ramadan, they find themselves reading 10 pages a day, 5 pages a day, whatever they could read in the month of Ramadan, and then even after Ramadan, they continue with 3 pages a day. They continue with 2 pages a day. This reading for 10 minutes even, that is a sign of acceptance, that this person has been accepted. The ibadah that they were doing in the month of Ramadan has been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, also like charity. Okay, so someone who never gives away, just spends on themselves, nice clothes, okay, going out to eat, spending on themselves, and there's nothing wrong with that. But doing that, but they never spent a dime on the poor. They never spent a dime in the masjid. They come, for example, come and play basketball and hoop in the masjid, okay? But then they don't give anything to the masjid. They don't help the masjid out when they need help, when they need money to fix the gym, for example. Okay, hint, okay? So the thing is that this is when a person sees that, and then after Ramadan, they see themselves putting down $1 into the box every day. Going online for the sponsoring an orphan, $1 a day can feed an orphan for a day. So they see themselves sponsoring an orphan a day. They see themselves sponsoring the cleaning of the masjid, for example, for a year or whatever it is. They see the difference. That means that their charity has been accepted in the month of Ramadan. So now, like I was saying earlier, taqwa. This is the main purpose, right, of Ramadan. If we learn that taqwa, if we get trained, if we train ourselves correctly in the month of Ramadan, then the light of Ramadan will continue after Ramadan for us, inshallah. And that taqwa will be there for us. And any situation that is thrown at us, any situation that we are put in, we'll be able to handle that situation, inshallah ta'ala. And I'll give you some examples. Again, we talked about this last week, where in the seerah class, Suhayb al-Rumi, radiallahu anhu, the Roman, he came to Makkah Mukarramah as a slave. And then he got freed, and then he was a mason. He would be making he was a swordsmith. Okay, so he was making swords. He started making so much money that he actually accumulated a lot of wealth. Now, when the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims were making hijrah to Medina Munawwara, he also made intention to make hijrah. But the people of Makkah, they actually captured him and they arrested him in the house, put him under house arrest. And they said to him that, what do you think? We're going to just let you come here as a slave. You came to our city, you got freed, you start making all this money, and then you're just going to walk away. You're going to take all your money and go away. We're not going to let you just go like this. You can't leave Makkah. Suhayb radhiyallahu anhu, he says that I started acting like my stomach's messed up, like I have diarrhea or something like that. And he said that until I acted like I wasn't even able to stand because of my weakness. And they saw this, so they thought, okay, he's weak, let's go and take a nap. I'm tired, instead of staying up all night and watching him, we'll go take a nap. They did that, and Suhayb got away. He escaped. So when he escaped, they actually went after him. They found out that he escaped, they went after him until they followed him to his area, and he climbed up a mountain. And he's standing on the mountain, and they said to him, again, where do you think you're going? You can't just leave with your wealth. You think we're going to let you go like this? So Suhayb radhiyallahu anhu says to them, that you know I am one of the best archers amongst you. And that I will not stop until each and every every arrow in my quiver is emptied out and is put into one of your bodies. And he says that after that, I'll take out my sword, and I'm going to fight you until I die. Basically, until I can't fight anymore. So he says that that's one option, that's the hard way, we can do that. Or I'll give you another choice. And that is, I'll tell you where my wealth is. I'll tell you where my money is. And what you can do is, you can go and take the money and just let me go. Let me go to Medina, I'll go empty hand, I don't care. Just take my wealth and let me go. They said, yes, we'll take that option. And Suhayb radhiyallahu anhu tells him where the money is. They leave him alone, and he goes to Medina Munawwara. When the Prophet saw him entering into Medina, the Prophet was told through wahi what had happened. So he says, "Rabih al-bay." He says that what a good bargain you did, what a good transaction you did, what a good deal you made with them, that you gave up everything so that you can meet the Prophet ﷺ, so you can be with the Prophet ﷺ in Medina Munawwara. And this is a side note, but if you guys know, there's a hadith about the Mahdi, that when the Mahdi comes, where he will be, wherever he will be, the people, the Prophet ﷺ says that if you have to crawl over ice to get to the Mahdi, then do so. And we see that Suhayb al-Rumi radhiyallahu anhu told us 1400 years ago what that crawling over the ice means. Giving up everything to go and meet the Prophet ﷺ, the people will be doing that. The youth will be doing that. The people, the mu'mineen, will be doing that, giving up their whole lives to go and meet and stay, be with the Mahdi, be on the Hizbullah, with the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, another example I'll give you, inshallah, and then I'll wrap up. There was another sahabi by the name of Abdullah ibn Hudhafa radhiyallahu anhu. And Abdullah ibn Hudhafa radhiyallahu anhu, he's known that he was one of the pranksters. He was joking. He would have a laugh, and the Prophet ﷺ and Sahaba would have a laugh with him too. And one thing is having a laugh, joking. There's nothing wrong with that. And being with the friends, playing basketball, having fun. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to time of worship, when it comes to time of learning Quran and learning the Sunnah, when it comes to implementing the Quran and Sunnah, then we have to be on the best at that also. Just like we want to be the best at hooping, we want to be the best at, you know, football, whatever we're doing, we have to be also the best at learning knowledge. We have to be the best in reciting the Quran. So Abdullah bin Hudhafah radhiallahu anhu, he was actually one of those in the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar bin Khattab radhiallahu anhu, he was captured by the Romans. And as he was captured, they took him to their leader and he offered him, he said that I'll give you gold, I'll give you silver, I'll give you wealth, and I'll marry you to my daughter. Just leave Islam, become a Christian, and I'll give you all this, and you're free to go, basically. And Abdullah ibn Hudhafah, then he says that if you give me the entire world and whatever is in it, I will not leave my deen even for a split second. I will not give up Islam for a split second. So this man says, okay, lock him up. Now there's some rawayat actually that they locked him up, and not only they locked him up, but they made him hungry for days. No food, no water for days. And then they brought in a platter of freshly cooked pork and a bottle of cold wine. And they put that into the room. And he said, this is what you can eat. And not only that, they put him in a room and they sent in a beautiful young woman with full makeup, full clothing to go in and try to entice him to do zina. So they did this, and Abdullah bin Hudhafah radhiallahu anhu, he's sitting in the room. He does not even glance at the woman. And he does not even take, he says, I can die, but I'm not going to eat that pork. I can die, but I'm not going to drink that wine. And I'm not going to do zina. So they call him, they said that the girl actually goes and she goes, what kind of rock did you put me within? This guy did not even look at me. You're asking me to do zina with him, he's not even looking at me. What am I supposed to do with this guy? So the king calls him and says to him that, you know, we gave you this food and we gave this woman, what's going on? And he says that actually that food, that pork, is halal for me. Because I'm starving, I'm about to die. And at that point, eating pork or drinking wine is actually halal for the person, as much as to keep the person alive, they can do that. But he said, I won't give you the satisfaction. I'm not going to let you win. So that's why I'm not going to do this. So they said, okay, you know what, tie him up. They tied him up, they put him up on a pole or something. And they tied him up. They started shooting arrows at his close to his hands, intimidating him, close to his legs, trying to intimidate him. He said, do whatever you want, I'm not scared of you guys. After that, they take a cauldron and they boil oil in it. They put oil in it, they boil it, and they take one of his soldiers. Remember, he was the leader of the contingent that got caught. So they bring one of his soldiers and they throw him into the oil in front of him, they burn him alive in front of him. And they said, you're next. So he starts to cry. Now the king says, okay, I got him. I got this guy. This guy's crying now, he's scared to die. So now I have him. So they bring him back and they say that what happened? So you're ready to be concrete? He says, no, that's not why I'm crying. They said, what happened? He said I saw that person die in front of me. And I start thinking that I only have one life to give for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wish I had as many lives as the hair on my body. He said that I wish I had that many lives so I can give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something the Prophet says of himself, he would wish for shahada. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the death of a shaheed, inshallah. So if you look at these sahaba and you look at their lives, that they were, because they learned that taqwa, they learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever situation they were put in, that taqwa had led them to follow the Quran and Sunnah, that to never leave never leave what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never do that which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us a tawfiq inshallah to be of those who continue with that light. Now some tips, I would like to give a few tips inshallah and then we'll end. Is that one of the hadith, the famous hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is talking to the shabab. He says, Ya ma'ashara shabab, oh the young people. He says that the one who's able to get married, get married. Okay, and I know a lot of you guys are young, so don't go home and tell your parents I want to get married. Okay, they're going to slap me, they're going to come after me. But the thing is, the Prophet ﷺ said to him that go, if you're able to get married, go get married. If you're not able to, then fast. Continue fasting because it will help you control your desires. Again, taqwa, learning taqwa from fasting, how to control ourselves. So if we continue on, for example, you have the 6 days of Shawwal, which is right after Eid. The day after Eid, you can start anytime during the month of Shawwal, 6 days. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the 30 days of Ramadan, 6 days of Shawwal, it's as if you fasted the whole year long. You have the Mondays and Thursdays, okay? You have the three white days, the days when the full moon, 13th, 14th, and 15th. You have the certain months, the month of Muharram, for example, the Ashura, 10th of Muharram. You have the days of Dhul Hijjah. So these days of fasting, don't just think fasting is for the month of Ramadan, but continue that fasting, inshallah, as much as you can throughout the year. Also, to continue on, if we started reading Quran in the month of Ramadan, and you see yourselves reading 10 pages or 15 pages or whatever you're reading in the month of Ramadan, after Ramadan, even if you can stick with 2 pages, even if you can stick with 5 pages every day, just start it, keep it going, inshallah ta'ala. Come to the masjid. You see yourselves right now, it's 1 a.m. Outside Ramadan, you wouldn't even imagine yourselves sitting in the masjid at 1 a.m. Try to come at least for Fajr and Isha prayers every single day. Make a habit. The Prophet ﷺ tells us in one of the hadith that the ahabbul a'mal ilallah, the most beloved of actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adwamuha wa in qalb, that are the ones that are the most adwam is continuous, right? The ones that there's a better word, I forgot what the consistent, steadfast, barakallahu fiqh. So the ones that are most consistent, even if they are little. So if you're doing, like I was saying, 2 pages, if you're doing 2 prayers a day, if you're giving $1 a day to in sadaqah, whatever it is, but make it consistent, and that will be the most beloved of the actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq inshallah to be of those who continue the light of iman, the light of taqwa after Ramadan, and make it inshallah a source for us to enter into Jannah. Jazakallah khair. Subhanahu rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.